Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Once again, congratulations to De'Aaron Fox, the Western Conference Player of the Week. Ballin'! He's been ballin'. And the Kings need every bit of it, and they're going to need every bit of it again tonight as Kevin Huerter, questionable. Keon Ellis out. Sasha Vezenkov, questionable as well. So the Kings, look, man, to bring it up again, a lot of that conversation last season about the quote-unquote injury luck and how the Kings got a bit lucky not having to deal with any injuries, and I'm sure a couple guys got dinged up. I'm sure they didn't
deal
with nothing. But, I mean, Trey Lyles, like you said, they cashed Trey Lyles out. He can't get on the floor. You just got De'Aaron Fox back. Now you don't know if you're going to have Kevin Huerter. You miss him in the last game. Sasha Vezenkov, he might not play. So Keon Ellis, who was starting to get into a rhythm, he rolls his ankle. So definitely not the same type of luck that the Kings had last season, but they're finding a way to persevere on this winning streak that they're on right now. De'Aaron Fox and Sabonis are balling out. De'Aaron Fox, these are the last four games, 30 points, 43 points, 28 points, 28 points. Sabonis, the last four games, 32 points, 27 points, 29 points.
Come on.
23 points. And with Sabonis, you got to read the rebounds. 13 rebounds, 14 rebounds, 16 rebounds, and then 9 rebounds. It's a joke right now.
It is.
I mean, they are rolling right now.
Yeah, both of them. And very rarely do you get to the case where you have both of your superstars humming at the exact same time, and it feels like it's right on schedule, too. Again, I'm going to keep pointing out the fact that once De'Aaron comes back, it feels like the puzzle pieces come all together. And Sabonis has definitely been a big part of that. He heard a lot during that losing streak of, I thought the Kings had two All-Stars. I thought they had two All-NBA players. Where has Domantas Sabonis been? Well, I think he has really changed. I don't even think he's changed his style of play, but I think since that four-shot performance we saw in Houston, it feels like he's really been more aggressive and setting the tone from the jump in these past couple games. Maybe it's because of who he's faced at center in this stretch. He's had to go against guys like Anthony Davis, like Victor Wembanyama, like Chet Holmgren, and the Two Towers in Cleveland as well. Maybe he saw those challenges and saw them as challenges and rose to the occasion. But the way that dude has been playing has changed how easy these victories have been, in my opinion. I think if De'Aaron goes crazy and Sabonis is still okay or hovering around average for his play, I think that these games are a lot more difficult. But the fact that you have him, you have De'Aaron, and then on most nights you have some other third guy that you have to worry about, it's really tough for teams to slow down these guys when they're humming the way they are right now. And you can't guess who that third guy is going to be. You can't guess if it's going to be Kevin Huerter on a given night, if it's going to be Malik Monk on a given night, or if it's going to be Keegan Murray even on a given night. So, yeah, absolutely. That duo is playing incredibly right now. And I have a stat here from our guy Will Z Stats, who you actually met the other night.
I did.
Great guy. Love Will. Mm-hmm. Always puts out great info as well. There are only 9 players in the NBA right now averaging 20 points, 4 rebounds, 6 assists on over 50% from the field. There's only 9 players in the entirety of the NBA. The Sacramento Kings have 2 of them, and they're the only team that has 2 of those players. De'Aaron Fox, 31, 4, 6 on 50%, 50.6% from the field. Sabonis, 20, 12, 7 on 63% from the field.
Wow.
So just absolutely ridiculous. And those are the Kings' 2 All-Stars. Those are the Kings' 2 All-NBA guys performing, and that was going to be a part of the recipe, too. I mean, if the Kings were going to be as good as they were last year, or if not, dare we say, better than they were last year, it was going to require those two guys being at the head of it as well. They were going to have to put up similar, if not better, numbers than they did the year previous, and both of which are definitely doing that.
Yeah, and right now, I would say, and I know there's probably Giannis and Dame out there as far as the duos are concerned.
Yeah, the two Jays in Boston.
The two Jays in Boston. But if you're looking at right now,
we thought it
could have been Sabonis to win Player of the Week as well.
Right.
They're both kind of just battling with each other, and I wonder if they have any type of conversations about that. Like, hey, I got you this week. And maybe you can get it next week, because they're both just operating at a high level right now. And that's exactly what this Kings team needs as they fight through some injuries, things like that. Just taking a look at the box score here from last night's game. I mean, Harrison Barnes, 12 points. Whenever you can get Harrison Light above double figures,
he'll take it.
Six assists from Harrison, too.
Wait, what?
Six assists from Harrison Barnes. Yeah.
I might have to look at career highs, because that might seriously be touching it.
It might be up there. Keegan Murray, 17 points. Sabonis, 32. Chris Duarte with 13.
Come on.
In his first opportunity to start. And De'Aaron with 30. Malik Monk with 12. Sasha Vezenkov with 7. And JaVale McGee with 6. So JaVale got into the dust up.
He did.
JaVale was ticked
off. He was
off.
Feeling it. He was
JaVale
definitely feeling it.
JaVale was ticked
it.
Off. He was not feeling it at all. And, he came over from the Mavs. I wonder if there was any beef. Well, that was Hardaway, right? That was Hardaway Jr.
Yeah,
that was Hardaway. Got into it. Maybe they didn't really enjoy each other's time. Because JaVale, he did get pushed.
He was quick, though.
Hardaway pushed him, yes. But JaVale... That's
Are
what I'm
we
saying.
Sure?
It looked like there was some. I've been waiting. Actually, yes. I really don't mess with you at all.
And it was some Draymond. Let me just give me an excuse to put this
JaVale
guy in a headlock.
JaVale was pointing his finger, saying, "I told you once. I told you about that." JaVale was not happy. So I wonder what went down there. JaVale was over here pointing his finger. I told you. I don't mess with you.
No, he was ready. He was ready to go. And it was one of those where you could tell because they went to replay after. Yeah. And you see everybody looking up at the replay, and you could tell the Mavericks bench when they cut to them. There's a lot of that fool's mad. Like, what'd y'all do to him last year? Kind of. And then the Kings are looking at it, and they're like, yeah, they just put their head back down, and they're like, yeah, JaVale definitely overreacted.
Yeah.
You could tell that there's clearly some subtext going on there that we are not all keen to.
No, we don't know if it was specific to...
That's why we got you yourself out of here last.
Right.
There was probably some slight jabs thrown.
Yeah, we don't know
right,
if it was specific to Tim Hardaway Jr. or if it was
anybody.
Or if it was just the team in general and Hardaway Jr. is the one who pushed him or put hands on him. Yeah. So then all of a sudden JaVale was
It really looked light to me.
Like, it did.
It looked like to me he was just trying to get up.
It was light but unnecessary. I don't think he needed to put his hands on JaVale's chest.
Yeah, I mean, it was there. His chest was. I hate to sound like Draymond talking about Sabonis, but he was there.
Side.
He was there. Where else is he supposed to put his hand?
Oh,
you know, come on.
We gotta watch the replay again during the break. I don't know about that. I'm gonna ride for my guy.
That was
JaVale.
My favorite. Draymond. Where is he supposed to put his foot? I don't know. I was just come on.
And then I got to hop, skip, and jump in the air after, just because.
Where is Tim Hardaway supposed to put his hand?
No,
where else?
Right.
Come on.
Besides on JaVale's
chest. Come on.
And then leverage himself to get up.
JaVale's a big guy. Come on. Like, you're telling me you really felt that? I don't know. All I know is JaVale was quick.
All I know is there was something.
That fuse was lit.
Yeah, all I know is there was something going on and JaVale was not happy.
He had
about
time.
It.
He had time no, today. He had time yesterday.
Right. And JaVale, that's a guy who, I think JaVale, professional, been around the league very long time. So I think that also kind of leaned into it because
For
you're
sure.
thinking, all right, JaVale, I haven't really actually seen JaVale get that upset.
Yeah, he's a lighthearted guy.
Yeah.
He's funny. He's goofy.
Right.
Not a very serious, angry. Well, I wouldn't surprise me if he's had a history of some flare-ups here and there, but I wouldn't guess JaVale McGee is an angry malcontent most
like
of
it.
The time.
No.
He's got good vibes to him.
Yeah,
you know?
Doesn't feel like it, but
he was not
messing with the Mavericks at all. And his new team, the Sacramento Kings, come away with the victory. Got to get to a break. When we get back, we continue to break down the Kings and a little bit of Niners as well. NFL in general with a big game tonight. Jalen Hurts versus Patrick Mahomes. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. We have a YouTube question here that we want to get to. Manny Too Legit says, Styles and Watkins, you guys probably won't answer my question. Well, that's where you're wrong, Manny. That's where you're wrong. But was wondering about Domas and Fox duo. Who would you compare them to as far as other great duos that have been in the league or currently?
That's a tough one because it's
who
like...
Who would we compare them to?
I mean, stylistically, who do they play the most like? Or if we're saying they have as good of a shot and or you know where they stack up in terms of duos compared to
historically. I think that anything you're going to say, the problem with doing these is it's either going to be going to come off as disrespectful to whoever you can is going to be disrespectful to whoever you compare them to or disrespectful to the to them.
Right.
Off the top of my head, just very quickly off the top of my head, and again, I'm going to hear it, but I would say Penny and Shaq.
Yeah, that's probably positionally like tick for tack. Like, I mean, the problem. I'm trying to grasp.
That's what I was gonna say. Allen just compared Sabonis to Shaq,
but I'm trying to help you out there in the sense of like the best centers in the NBA were probably like Shaq. I was too young to have a good grasp, but. Like, Hakeem was probably still the best center in the NBA. Like, Shaq might have been up and coming. Like, Sabonis is the third or fourth best center in the NBA. Mm-hmm. So that might fit the Shaq was probably third or fourth best center in the NBA.
At
and
that
Penny
time.
Was probably somewhere near the tier of De'Aaron. I would say, to build on that, even if we could only compare it to Sacramento Kings, like, I definitely think they're... they're creeping on territory, if not already there, of the best duo in Sacramento Kings history. Like, if we're talking Weber, Bibby, as individuals, of course, team success nowhere near a game away from making the NBA Finals. But if we're talking two individuals, Sabonis pound for pound with Weber is that's going to be a really fascinating argument if Sabonis ends up staying here the duration of his contract to look at those two numbers. De'Aaron is head and shoulders better than Mike Bibby. And so in that sense, it feels like that kind of helps level up the playing field. And I would almost give, I think Fox is almost, no shade at Mike Bibby. Mike Bibby's fantastic. Please come on the show whenever. But I think De'Aaron
friend
is
of the show.
Friend of the show. Hopefully one day, hopefully actually friend of us one day. Anyways, I think De'Aaron is actually so much better than Mike that it kind of puts that duo over that one. So I, at the very least, I would say that we're definitely ranging towards the, if not already there, of the best duo in Sacramento Kings history for sure.
A couple other names coming through: Aaron, Wade, and Mourning. Okay,
interesting. Okay,
you have Campio, Silva, saying Marbury and Garnett.
I feel like maybe Sabonis isn't as good as Garnett. Yeah, maybe.
There's not a perfect one because Sabonis is more is headed towards that hybrid center, right? Where he's the passing, even his threes have been falling lately.
Right.
So he's not a traditional center. There's just not a lot of those running around right
now. It's tough, too, because honestly, narrative plays a big role in Sabonis's kind of standing with all of these guys as well. Like, I saw somebody put on Twitter earlier today, you know, it doesn't matter if Sabonis, you know, retweeting Sabonis' stat line the last four games, doesn't matter if Sabonis is averaging a 30-point triple-double, I still won't give him respect after last year's playoffs.
I saw that.
I think that just exists out there, so that also adds to why it's hard to kind of place where they are in terms of duos, because he's such a polarizing guy. Yeah, I say that he's up tier to the tier of Chris Webber. Some people might say that's absolutely blasphemous. How could you? Chris Webber was, I mean, talent-wise, 1,000%. Mm-hmm. Chris Webber, you can almost argue, never lived up to the talent that he had. He had best player in the league talent. Mm-hmm. But in terms of actual production, I think Sabonis gets the most out of his skill set, out of his abilities. I think in terms of production, he's definitely deserving to be up there in that conversation.
And the question wasn't just former players. It was also about current.
Yeah.
And I would say, I'm going to go to the Mile High and talk about Denver and say Jokic and Murray because obviously Jokic is better than Sabonis, but I think Fox is better than Jamal Murray.
Yep.
And they is very similar between the two.
Yeah.
So
if if you put Sabonis at 100 and you put Murray at an 85 or something.
Right.
I think the average of those two numbers would probably be somewhere near where you would put the average of Fox and Sabonis.
What we're saying is Sabonis close to as the difference between Sabonis and Jokic, does that get evened out between the difference between Fox and Jamal Murray? And I do think Jamal Murray might be slightly underrated, but I also think that Sabonis is underrated.
Right.
So I think that's probably the best modern comparison,
I would say so,
that we have right now, and it's right in front of our face.
Yeah, because I mean, the problem with the duos is, you know, we can enter the Warriors into the chat. Like, how do you not have best duos involve Steph Curry and just somebody else? Well, the problem is that somebody else is bringing, you know, he's holding down the weight so
don't
much.
Me, don't
that
get
it's
me in trouble
like,
here.
Yeah, I'm not trying to. Here. But, yeah, I mean, they're a top five duo in the NBA without thinking about it too much. Like, now, of course, if you're taking peaks of their power, like, yeah, Giannis and Dame, absolutely. And, you know, yeah, for sure. Maybe you take Jokic and Murray above them. The two Jays in Boston, maybe you take over them.
Some people would say right now, Joel Embiid and Maxey.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, there's tons of good duos out there. It's just kind of tough. It is a little bit of styles, too.
AD
you know,
and
you
LeBron.
Got, you got AD and LeBron. Like, you just got to kind of pick what it is that you're looking for. Like, are we talking NBA Jam, or are we talking trying to win a title? Are we talking, you know, best two guys to build around? There's tons of different ways you could frame the argument. But I think the bigger point is when we're talking production, when we're talking right here, right now, today, this duo is playing to the level, at least, of just about anybody else in the NBA. Like, you could take this duo production-wise and put it toe-to-toe, pound-for-pound, with any other duo in the NBA.
Yeah.
And that's surprising. Like, I didn't think that would be the case. I thought when you say Fox and Sabonis are your two best players, that screams, just narrative-wise, 7 or 8 seed or 6 play-in team to me. The fact that they're able to, right as it stands right now, the Kings are in the 4 seed in the Western Conference. They were the 3 seed, obviously, last year. I think the fact that those two just continue to outlive expectations, I think that just says that we really shouldn't doubt them. Like, we shouldn't try and put a cap on how good we think they can be, because they've exceeded it every single time someone has tried to put a cap on how good they can be.
Yeah, and, you know, these lists that we'll read and, oh, well, that's disrespectful or this or that, I think that helps. I think that the Kings do use it as fuel.
Yes.
And I believe that it's going to help them, and as they continue to garner more attention, and they might not even feel comfortable because they're not used to it. Here at 916 on the text line, Dirk and Steve Nash.
Interesting. Of course, stylistically, Sabonis is not Dirk.
And
but
stylistically,
that's interesting.
De'Aaron isn't Steve Nash.
Yeah, that's good, because I would say both of those two were never taught. They were, those two specifically were always disrespected as well. Like, Dirk never got the respect until he won the title. Steve Nash, his MVPs are probably the most controversial, polarizing MVPs that there are out there. That's actually not a bad shout, because Dallas had a lot of really fun years with those two. The scary part is that we're not going to get into, because I do not want to have this conversation, is those two also very much reached a ceiling really hard, really quickly, and Dallas moved on from them really fast.
Yeah,
so
it was fun.
Hopefully that doesn't happen here in Sacramento, but that is definitely the fear with having that caliber of a duo.
So this is CBSSports.com, and I think this was the same group that gave us the big man comparison that you almost left the studio.
CBS Sports. You don't forget something like
had
that.
A list and of big men, and Sabonis was ranked number 9, and Chris almost left the studio,
yeah,
and I almost had to finish the show by myself. So this was from end of September, right? So this is from the end of September, the best duos that I think a lot of people wanted to have the conversation before, right after Dame signed to the Bucks or headed over, got traded to the Bucks. So this is before the season. So you have number one, you have Jokic and Murray.
Okay.
Which they just want to.
For sure. Yeah, they just want a title. Absolutely.
And you can do percentages on who's pulling most of that weight.
Yes.
In these
exactly.
duos. Okay. Number two, LeBron and Anthony Davis. This was September 30th. We're looking for an update. We're updating them ourselves,
yes.
Right? This is just to see where you would now put
Fox
and the Ox. Okay. You have number three, Kevin Durant and Devin Booker. I mean, they played, what, 2 games together?
Something like that.
Do they even know each other?
No, they don't.
Come on.
Have they won a game where they've played together?
I don't know.
And they barely squeaked one out last night in Utah, by
the
way.
So there's your first L. Giannis and Dame at number four, I think it's because at this time, nobody had seen
them
play
yet. Right.
Again, this beginning of September. This one is going to make Chris laugh and possibly leave again. 5, Steph Curry and Draymond Green.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Oof. Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't look too hot now, does it?
No, it doesn't. Yeah. This was the end of September.
Oh, boy.
Number six, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, of course.
Right, right. Number seven, Joel Embiid. They had James Harden, so just plug in Maxie there.
Yeah.
Number eight, Kawhi and Paul George, which can we stop doing that?
Yeah,
and
I think
and
we can
actually,
officially.
I do want to talk a little bit about the Clippers because did we bury them too soon? Did we bury them too
possibly.
Soon?
There's still a lot of season left. We'll see.
Number nine, De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis. Going into the season,
I could see how.
Is that going into the city?
Whatever.
Party.
It's fine.
Shout out Sacramento.
Shout out the city.
Shout out J Street.
Yeah. Shout out J Street. Shout out K Street. shout out R Street, too. Why not?
Shout out
R Street gets forgotten about.
There you go.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair for like a preseason where, you know, people are mainly, it's all about the hype, you know, it's all about the big names. And I think Fox and Sabonis, I think, again, a lot of people were down on Sabonis after the playoff series. But I feel like after hearing those duos.
And number 10 was Luka and Kyrie.
Interesting. And I would say maybe they're you know, if we're doing power rankings, they're probably stock
too.
Up, right? Mm-hmm. I definitely think the bigger point is that I think Fox and Sabonis are knocking on the door, if not already there, of top five duos.
There you go. Got to get to a break. We have a combo. We will get to celebrate the dogs from this weekend. Simone, get that music ready, and we will be choosing our dogs of the game for the game tonight. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacramento has a new tag team in the midday. It's Styles and Watkins on Sacktown Sports.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, and it's about that time to get to our dogs. Before we get to our dogs, I had to bring this up. A lot of random news coming through today. De'Aaron Fox wins Player of the Week in the Western Conference. Shout out De'Aaron Fox. He's been rolling. Could have been De'Aaron Fox. Could have been Sabonis. These guys are balling right now as the Kings are about to take on the Pelicans tonight. And we got your dogs. So, Simone, keep that going. And we're celebrating the two W's from over the weekend. So we will get our dogs with a dog music bet. That's what you get. That's what you get. Now, it is being reported quickly that Zach Wilson is being named the third-string quarterback.
Oof.
Tim Boyle will be the starter, and Trevor Siemian will be
another
the backup.
Another new starter.
Oh, another new starter. Another My new goodness. Starter. And, you know, Robert Saleh did some great things for the Niners. Wish them the best, but this is why you just need to not overthink things. As soon as Aaron Rodgers went down, I think what happened is they were watching Hard Knocks and they got convinced. The same way I got convinced. You watch Hard Knocks, you think every team's winning the Super Bowl.
Yep.
And they're, you know, they got the guy, the voice in the background saying, Zach Wilson learning from Aaron Rodgers. And I think they believe.
Doing the no look passes.
Doing the no look passes. And I think they believe that that stench or that smell of Aaron Rodgers and his greatness that quickly got passed on to Zach Wilson, and it just didn't.
No,
and he had that game. What was that, like 4 or 5 weeks ago where he balled out?
Yeah.
I mean,
against the Chiefs.
That was against the Chiefs.
He looked better than Patrick Mahomes.
He looked better than Patrick Mahomes and Taylor Swift, and the Swifties were all confused, right? And I think a lot of people thought, okay, maybe the Jets have something. Remember, he went two overall. He's a top pick in the draft. But ultimately, you gotta listen. You gotta trust yourself. And I've always been of the mindset that the sit behind quarterbacks was a little overdone.
Yes.
Right. Do we not think Patrick Mahomes is gonna be that guy if he didn't sit, you know, sit for a couple years? Come on now.
Look at Jordan Love.
Well,
he don't
on.
Look ready.
He does not look ready. So
doesn't look like sitting helped him at all.
Jets did it to themselves. They could have went out, and I would have rather got Joe Flacco. I mean, not
you might as well.
You might as well have.
They were better with him last. They had Joe Flacco the year previous,
right.
And that was arguably the best they looked. Or Mike White, another guy who, you know, they always say the backup quarterback's the most popular guy in town, but it's really bad when the backup quarterback comes in. Plays well. I mean, Mike White did come in and play out of his mind for a couple games, but it's not great when then everybody rallies around him when he's playing and says, "No, like keep him in. We've seen the other guy. Let's not do this." I don't understand how the Jets have seen now what 3 years of Zach Wilson, and I think now they're finally getting the point. But I agree. I have no idea why they believed. Oh, just because Aaron Rodgers is going to be in his ear, all of a sudden he'll stop throwing terrible balls.
No, I don't get it. And to bring this back to the Niners, Richard Sherman had some sound on his podcast where he went on to say that if Brock Purdy was a top pick, we'd be talking about him in the same breath as Patrick Mahomes. I don't know about all that.
I don't.
But I will say that, and there's money involved, right? A top three pick has a lot more money invested than the last pick in the draft. But I do think it goes beyond that, and I do think that Zach Wilson would not have gotten this many opportunities if he was the last pick in the draft.
Oh,
he would have already got cooked.
Yeah, he would
have. I'm packing your bags.
Bye.
You got to go back to BYU.
He wouldn't have even made the practice
squad.
I mean, he looks terrible. He looks unplayable.
So as much as I think that a lot gets overblown about Brock Purdy being Mr. Irrelevant at this point in time, things like this does make me feel like Richard Sherman is right, because he got so many chances, Zach Wilson did. And then on the other hand, and I got to bring up Voldemort's name, you have Trey Lance, who really didn't get any opportunity. So
still isn't.
The whole thing is just a complete mess. What we did learn is that draft class, that was supposed to be one of the best draft classes QB-wise, complete sham. You have Trevor Lawrence, who we think is going to be good and has looked pretty good, but nothing to write home about. Justin Fields, good luck to you. Just
played
a
all right.
Mess.
He was this close to getting an upset. Close.
Yeah.
Really good, close. Of course, can't rely on the Bears to do anything.
No.
Just beat the Lions.
All right, it's time. Simone, get it rolling. It is time for the dog segment.
Arf, arf.
And I believe you called Harrison, one of us called Harrison Barnes for
last
night.
I did for game
night.
Two.
Yeah.
So Harrison.
Are we counting that? Again, I think we said double digits is
right.
We'll take what we can get.
I had Keegan, and defensively showed up.
Yeah, me too.
He's gonna have to hit some of those shots tonight with no Kevin again. Yep. So,
possibly questionable still.
Questionable. We do know no Keon though.
Yep.
And that's why we've been talking about Davion.
Yep.
And is it going to be a return of Davion to a lot of playing time and getting that action? Colby Jones, you never know, right? He it wasn't too long ago Colby Jones was getting not legit minutes, but he was getting a decent
amount of minutes.
Yeah, he's getting first quarter minutes. So, all right, let's get through it. Simone?
Yeah?
Is your dog?
Start
and again,
it off?
If you want to, if you don't have to, again, if you want to be a part of the conversation and give us your dogs, who you think is going to perform the best tonight, 916-339-1140. You don't have to, Simone.
No, I got you.
All right.
I've been really inspired by this entire show, and I'm actually going to go in an unconventional way.
Love it.
Off night is going to be off the
knew
court.
It. I knew it.
Biting fools' ankles tonight.
Wow.
That is going to be my dog. Of the
okay.
game tonight.
All right. Davion
there we go.
Is Simone's dog.
Yeah, he's going to bring some energy for sure.
Chris.
Davion's a great pick because Brendan, I think when we had Brendan in on Wednesday, he talked about how, you know, it was an inevitability that Davion was going to get some minutes again, whether it was Keon getting injured, which happened,
right,
or Keon maybe having a couple games where he doesn't knock down shots and Mike Brown maybe looks Davion's way again. We knew this would happen, but he's going to come in with so much energy, so much fire. You talked about earlier when talking about Duarte, how sometimes, you know, it is good to sit guys and have depth and have that level of competition because these guys are all hyper-competitive, and the best way you're going to get the best performances out of them is by challenging them and legitimately trying to make them believe that you have to play well or else you will not get the only thing you care about, and that's minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So Mike Brown took those minutes away. Okay, he took the food bowl away from the dog. Now that's a hungry dog that's ready to get let off the leash and show, hey, man, this is why I was the eighth pick in the draft. This is why, you know, I still got some value on this league. Whether for you or for anybody else that I'm showcasing, I'm going to show that I've got something. So I think Davion's a great pick. I'm jealous. I wish I could pick it myself.
You can double up.
I want Simone to live with it by herself when it goes well. It's going to go well. So I want Simone to have that.
Okay.
Let's see. I'll go with Domantas Sabonis.
Okay.
I think I picked Sabonis for my Friday game as well. I'm going to keep similar logic, except it's actually not going to be. It's going to be same reason, but different circumstance. Sabonis was going against Wemby on Friday, was going against the Dallas Mavericks ghost centers with Derek Lively is out there.
Right.
He's a rookie. That's barbecue chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight's a different challenge.
Yeah.
Sabonis still needs to bring the physicality, but he's got a big, big. Well, I'm talking like a mastiff he's going against in Jonas Valanciunas.
Yeah.
That's a big, big boy. Okay. That's not like Chet. That's not like AD.
No.
That's not like
where
Derek Lively.
Bullies get bullied.
Yeah. So Sabonis is going to have to take it to him. And I know those two have a lot of history in international basketball. The Kings and Jonas Valanciunas have some history with DeMarcus, giving him a little pump fake when DeMarcus was on Team USA. But Jonas Valanciunas is a guy who I'm a huge fan of. He's somebody who you let him, we've talked about today, Kings can't let other guys besides Zion and Brandon Ingram do their thing. Jonas Valanciunas is prime candidate number one to have 20-plus points, have like 15 rebounds.
Yeah.
He'll sneak a couple threes. He'll get a couple assists on you. That's a dude that you have to worry about. You can't just let that man cook. Don't let him get into a rhythm. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you have to be physical with him because he's so big. Mm-hmm. He might like that physicality, or if you need to try and, you know, balance it up with some speed or something. But whatever you do, don't let Jonas Valanciunas get cooking tonight.
Wow.
So my dog is Sabonis.
Wow.
I'm expecting a 20-plus. Give me... I'm all above averages. So I think Sabonis is at 20, 12, and 7 right now.
Wow.
Give me a 20 plus. Give me a 14 boards. Give me an 8 assists as well.
209.
Yeah.
209. Keegan is my dog tonight. 209 as well.
He's had a couple quiet nights. So.
Physicality. The Kings are playing right now. We'll prepare them for the playoffs. They're going to the playoffs ready. For the physicality that it brings. On the YouTube chat, we have Amid Rock going with De'Aaron Fox. Manny Too Legit going with De'Aaron Fox. I'm going to go. I can't go Keegan again. We gotta go. I know Simone's saying we gotta go. It's hard because I just went Keegan.
I will say De'Aaron Fox perpetually kills the New Orleans Pelicans. Just absolutely destroys them.
You know what, though? We're in NOLA.
We are.
I'm going with the Monk Yard Dog. He's been a little bit quiet. His threes, he's been back three-wise, but hasn't really eclipsed that 13, 14 points, right? So I'm looking for, with no Kevin Huerter, I'm looking for Malik to be a little bit more aggressive, and I'm going to go with Malik Monk for my dog. Got to get to a break. When we get back, crosstalk. With the Drive Guys, Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
That should just be dog munching on bone.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. A little bit of crosstalk joined by one half of the Drive Guys, Whitey Gleason. Whitey, how is it going, my good sir?
Good, good. You know, I got a question for you guys, if I may.
Oh,
okay. You probably saw the commercial. A lot of people love it. The three older women and Amazon and okay. So it's three women and they go down. Now I wonder how they get back up, but did anybody else especially somebody who spent a lot of time in the Bay Area, when you saw that, did you think of Draymond, Clay, and Steph, or was that just me?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You haven't seen the Amazon commercial?
They ran it about 18 times per game.
Really?
Yeah. There's some old ladies and that's what they are. I'm not there's old lady and they're sitting there but watching kids go down in their sleds. And one of them goes on Amazon and gets seats for the three of them. And they're like, what are you doing? And they don't talk, but then they all go down. And they're and they remember when they were younger. And I was thinking of Steph and Draymond.
I love that so much.
Yeah.
Very, very much.
No, I mean, I get it. Yes, I definitely can see that now.
Especially when at the end and they're, you know.
Yeah.
I
could see Clay just holding up. Back one, up there. Two, three, four.
Right.
Wow.
Right. And there's no way they get back up that hill, by the way.
No.
That's a one and done.
Trudging up snow is tough.
Yeah.
That's a one and done.
No. They're going to have to move further down the hill. Yeah.
I just love that that's where your mind goes instantly.
Don't worry about it. Ladies, how are you? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they got down it. That's all that matters.
You know, one
and
last
they basically bought like butt pads, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That's what she bought.
Okay. I got to see this.
No, so they can go down the hill.
It's sweet.
Yeah. It's a sweet.
You're
not making
play,
it sound
In My Life by the Beatles on just piano. That's what's underneath it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. My mom was over and she that one got her.
Yeah, I know. I get it.
But Whitey, meanwhile, this Mr. Cynical over here.
Well, I asked on Twitter, and Sean, who's a loyal listener to the station on Twitter, he said, those ladies know it's a young man's game. They're sledding. They knew what they were in for, and they're not getting back up the hill.
They're not.
That's on them.
Yeah. They're not. They get one a year.
Yeah.
One time down a year. Whitey, before we go, Kings here, Chiefs, Eagles, who you got?
I'm just going to, you know, pick with the heart and go, let's go Chiefs. Let's go Andy
Everybody's
Reid,
picking the Chiefs.
Former SF State, used to coach at SF State.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. Or Simone and I,
Gators
years
up.
Apart, went to
Gators up.
Gators up.
Gators up. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Chris, who you got tonight?
Sorry, I'm watching this Joyride Amazon commercial. They really did buy butt pads. They really did
buy some. They're like cushions. Yeah.
Sure. Yes. They sure did though. That was like the first thing they purchased. Question about tonight's game. Is that what it was? Sorry, I was focused on the elders.
Yes.
I think that this is a prime. Eagles are going to make this another very disgusting, ugly win. And I think it's probably going to be like 20 to, we'll say 17. And I think it's going to be continued conversation about, do Mahomes and do they have enough, you know, receiving help? I just think this entire game is just going to lean into narratives. I don't think we're going to see anything special tonight. I don't think these teams want to reveal any deep, dark secrets they have. I'm going Eagles.
Eagles need it more.
Yeah.
The Eagles definitely need it more.
Yeah. I mean, the AFC is looking so soft these days. I mean, when you throw in the fact that Burrow's now out for the season, Buffalo looks like a mess. You know, I guess you could say Baltimore's probably their toughest competition. They lose Mark Andrews.
Everybody, the whole league is soft. There's 14 playoff teams, right? And I think there are like 14 teams with winning records right now.
Really?
So we do this thing in basketball where a ring is a ring is a ring, but people will talk about your path, right? So this year's Super Bowl winner, is it going to be one of the weaker rings if that's... If that's a thing, would you call this ring a little bit weaker than other rings?
I don't know if that will be determined on the game itself.
And I think
the Super Bowl itself will determine how the narrative of the run is based. But it does feel like you only have to win one or two, like one really tough game to get to that Super Bowl, where traditionally sometimes it's been, if you're in that wild card, you're going to get a tough wild card. You're obviously going to get a tough division, and then you'll get a tough conference opponent as well. Whereas, you know, if the Niners, let's say the Niners get that first round bye, they might play, you know, depending on how you view Detroit on a road, like on the road heading to California, like that might not be their best situation, and then you only really would have to play the Eagles as like a tough competition. So it does feel like, to what you're getting at, it feels like the road is going to be a lot easier. Well, to be determined on the game itself, though.
To me, the 49ers, the Eagles, the Chiefs, and the Ravens are the four teams that really have the most realistic chance. And, you know, anything can happen. Crazy upset here or there, a bounce here or there. There's some other good teams. But I think those four teams are head and shoulders above anybody else, including the Lions, and I know your Vikings have them two more times.
Yes.
You know, they give up a ton of points.
Yes, they struggled with the Bears.
They're a good team, have a great year. First
Sunday.
Time they've been 8-2 since, JFK was president, whatever. But they give up a lot of points.
They do, yeah. Their defense, and that was the weak point of last year. It wasn't. Their offense hasn't really ever been a question. It's really been about their defense. Their defense has been solid this year, but I think you see in a game like yesterday where – yeah, they're struggling at points to slow down the Chicago Bears. It's like, well, if you're going against the Niners, like that's going to be a field day for them. So, yeah, especially, again, if the Lions aren't playing in Ford Field or in a dome, I just think you have to wonder, how are they going to look?
It's too much bad like your the quarterback Dolphins. Got hurt. I'm serious. Yeah. I'm not making fun of it. It's really too bad.
Yeah. Because the Vikings would have put up a fight against them for sure. I mean, the Vikings have a good enough offense to really give them fits.
Yeah. No, and before we switch over to Kings here, the only other team I think there are some teams that we may have written off too soon in the AFC, but I also think that there's a reason that we wrote them off. I feel more confident about possibly writing off the Dolphins too early than I do about the Bills. I think the Bills are done. I guess what I'm saying is I wouldn't be surprised if the Dolphins somehow figure it out.
If they could play all their games at home. Right. Good luck with that.
In 70-degree weather.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? But and that's been my knock on the Dolphins. But if they figure that out, I feel like there's still more that the Dolphins can show us. I just think the Bills, from the coaching staff to the Diggs thing and Josh Allen regressing, I don't see the Bills making any noise in the AFC. And I could be wrong. They could turn things around. But I do think that, okay, Dolphins, we know what the Dolphins haven't been able to do. So if you're able to figure that out, maybe you got something. All right, only got about a minute left here, Whitey, before we hand over the keys. So tonight, back-to-back, Pelicans-Kings. I mean, I don't think the Kings are going to go for 6-0. They have some guys that are questionable. But how are you feeling about the game tonight?
The Pelicans are – we'll talk with Kyle Draper, of course. He's there getting ready for the game. I have a hard time figuring them out. I don't know what they are. I mean, they're not –
I don't think they know.
They don't stand out in any area, but part of that is because they're guys, you know, it's different players every night. Ingram's scary, but, you know, his three-point shooting this year has been terrible, so you never know which team you're going to get.
Yeah, you don't, but you know what team you're going to get when you listen to The Drive, guys.
Ooh,
and
that's
Draper and Whitey. Thank you for listening to Styles and Watkins. We got you tomorrow as well. Sacktown Sports.